It's truly good to be able to come together on this morning to worship God in spirit and truth. It is a wonderful, wonderful Lord's Day. It may be cold outside, it may be wet outside, but it is still a wonderful, wonderful day. Let us remember to keep all of those that were mentioned in prayer. And as you do those things, from time to time, give them a call and encourage them. On this morning, we are looking at a couple of questions that was put in the box on last Sunday. I don't know what time they put it in there, but I do know what time I took it out. And I took it out when I got to it, when I seen it, I took it out. The question, well, first statement, it says, please answer during Sunday morning service. So we all agree this is Sunday morning service, right? Okay, all right. I don't know if the person is here or not. I hope they are. The first question, is it a sin for a Christian that have no biblical grounds for remarriage to date? That's question number one. Question number two, is it a sin for a Christian with biblical grounds to marry, date someone that doesn't have a biblical right to remarry? Now, we're going to look at a lot of scriptures on this morning. We're not going to have time to finish, Brother Brown, but we're going to look at a lot of scriptures. The reason we're going to look at a lot of scriptures is because the title of this lesson is Divorce and Remarriage. We first start off with marriage. Marriage being the oldest institution that God has ordained. We're going to back up just a moment. And I want to present this to you like this. Dearly beloved, we're gathered here today in the eyes of God and the many witnesses that we have. Talk about marriage, divorce, and remarriage. I ask you all a very simple question. Those that are married, those that are unmarried, what did you or what are you looking for and a spouse? I would step out on a limb to say that you want someone that has a good character. Someone that may need some training in certain areas. Cooking, cleaning. Others we don't want to venture into because that's none of our business at this time. Someone that you may think looks good. Someone that holds a great conversation. Someone that might have a good job. Those are just a few things that we look at when we're looking for a mate, a spouse, someone to marry, someone to spend our lives with. And then there's that other, I think I heard Brother Glenn use the word this morning, spectrum. On the other end of the spectrum, did you use that this morning? You don't remember? Don't worry about it. We all getting old. Well, you just go out there and look for anybody because you don't want to stay home anymore. You jump into a situation. Later on, you regret that. But guess what? You jumped, you land. What's the word? You stay. I was going to say stuck. You know how they make those landings on those gymnastics? They want it to stick. That's the way we want marriages to be. So when we start talking about marriage, once again, the book of Genesis chapter 2 and the verses 24, Adam and Eve didn't have the luxury of dating. Didn't have the luxury of getting to know one another. God, as he commanded Adam, gave him that order to name all the animals. And as he named all of those animals, he saw that there was not a mate suitable for Adam. So he caused a deep sleep to come upon Adam and took one of his ribs, and there he created a woman for Adam. When Adam woke up, there she was, his wife for life. Bible says in Genesis 2:24, for this cause a man shall leave his mother and father and cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. Now we've seen instances in Scripture where individuals have seen a woman and they say, oh, that's a good looking woman. You know who I'm talking about? Oh, Samson. A woman that was not supposed to, that he was not supposed to have any relations with, but I want her for my wife. And what did his mother and father do? They went and got her. And what did Samson do? That was his wife. Dating is something that many of us have dating. What exactly is dating? You're going to the movies with someone. You're going over to their house to have dinner with them. You're going to this place, to that place, and trying to get to, and I want y'all to listen to me, okay? Because some people get these things all mixed up. Trying to get to home. First base, second base, third base, and home. You're trying to get to home. That's what dating is all about, trying to get to home. Now, a lot of times we try to get to home before we make that person legal. What I mean by legal? Marrying that person. See, there are things that you can do in dating that involve no contact with the other. But we have to understand this, that if you are not eligible to marry, you're not eligible to date. You're not eligible to say, this is my girlfriend, this is my boyfriend, this is my fiance. You don't have that right. You gave up that right when you were put away for fornication, or you divorced your spouse, or your spouse divorced you without the cause of fornication. That in itself is a sin. The Bible is very clear on these things. And again, we're going to have a whole lot of scriptures. Examine a nation of God's law. God's law, not man's, because man says you can put woman away or man away for any reason you want to. Same man that says that you can put them away for any cause is the same one that says, and we all in here hopefully will agree, that same-sex marriages is wrong in the eyes of God. If you disagree with that, we can talk about that as well, but not this morning, because it's going to be afternoon by the time I finish. But the laws of God is what we're looking at in the era of men on the subject of marriage, divorce, and remarriage. This is a subject that many preachers would not talk about. This is a subject that many members of the Lord's church would not talk about. The law of marriage started long before the church was ever in existence. The law of marriage started when? I already gave you the answer to that. This is not a trick question. I'm not giving you a pop quiz. I'm giving you Bible. The law of marriage started in the book of Genesis when God joined together those two, Adam and Eve. That's when the law of marriage started. And so we're going to look at it, and we're going to talk about it, and we're going to examine it. And hopefully we can come to a conclusion, and the person that put this question in the box, I venture to say it wasn't a child. And we've had some young Christians, young people from that class put some questions in, but I don't think any child wrote this question right here. So we got a lot of single people in the audience this morning. Brother Gary's single. You know what Brother Gary has? He has the same right as Brother Richard has. Amen. To marry whomever they please, as long as the person they're marrying is eligible to be married. We're going to see that in just a moment. Are you looking to get married, Gary? One day. One day, he say. Eventually. Marriage. I'm going to have to look up here because my thing is not acting right. Divorce and remarriage. Marriage is a divine institution and is governed by the laws of God. A divine institution governed by the laws of God. Can we understand that? That it is God's standard and not man's standard? If we can, we should know and we should do the things that we're supposed to do. We're supposed to look at this thing and we're supposed to examine this thing, and this thing is going to walk me to death today. But that's okay, because we're going to get a clarification out of what it's talking about. Here is on a different slide than that slide, and that slide is, y'all may not be able to see the slides. I hate that for you, because there's some very important stuff up here. A controversial subject. Right or wrong, yes, it is. An emotional subject. God wants me to be happy. Yes, he does. He wants you to be happy. No doubt in my mind, no, not in your mind, that God wants you to be happy, but he wants you to be happy in the right way. He wants you to be happy with the right man, with the right woman. He wants you to be happy. It's a personal subject. Oh, you're talking about my family now. What you mean I can't marry her or I can't marry him because I'm not eligible to be married in the eyes of God? What did you just say? In the eyes of God. So we have to give Bible. An extremely important subject. Again, when we start talking about laws, the law of marriage was given by God, a divine institution. That means it did not formally here upon this earth. God did it. From heaven, God did these things. And so we need to look at it, and we need to look at it very good. A subject that needs to be addressed often. And if nothing else, you all that are members here at the West End Congregation will make sure that we address this often. Because someone puts a question in the box from time to time on marriage. What if this? What if that? What if God didn't say it? That's what we have to look at. If God didn't say it, then we need to leave it alone. If God said it, then we need to address it and we need to live by it. In Genesis chapter 2, verses 18 through 24, Genesis chapter 2, verse 18 through 24, and the Lord said, it is not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helper compatible for him, to him. Now, I want us to understand this, that the animals were not suitable for Adam. So God, what did he do? And the Lord caused a deep sleep to fall on Adam, and he slept, and he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh in its place. Then the rib which the Lord God had taken from man, he made into a woman, and he brought her to the man. A little bit different, right, than what we find in other scriptures. The book of Proverbs says, when a man finds a wife, he finds a good thing. Adam didn't have to look for Eve. He didn't have to say, man, I wonder which one of these women. He didn't even know nothing about a woman. But God gave him a woman. A woman that was for him to have conversation with. And as we know, later on, have children. All right. Then you find in the book of Malachi, chapter 2, verse 14 through 16. Yet you say, for what reason? Because the Lord has been witness between you and the wife of your youth, with whom you have dwelt treacherously, yet she is your companion and your wife by covenant. But did he not make them one? Having a remnant of the Spirit, and why one? He seeks godly offspring. This is our God now. The reason why he wants man to remain with his wife and continue to do the things that are right. And we have to look at it and we examine it. And again, we continue to do the things that God is pleased with. The things that God is pleased with. So let's make sure that as we look at this subject, that we know what God desires of us and we do those things. Divorce and remarriage. Again, Malachi chapter 2 and the verse is 14. Malachi chapter 2 and the verse is 14. The Bible states this in Malachi 2:14, the Lord has been witness between you and the wife of your youth. She is your companion and your wife by covenant. She is your companion and your wife by covenant. In the book of Proverbs, chapter 2, in the verses 17, which forsaketh the guide of her youth and forgetteth the covenant of her God. When a person is not doing what God desires them to do, if they're not looking at the word, if they're not examining the covenant, all things that God has said, there is a problem. And the problem is that person disregards the teachings of God. So we're going to get into the teachings of Jesus. As we think about this subject and these questions, the teachings of Jesus concerning divorce and remarriage, the teachings of him in Matthew chapter 5, verse 31. Matthew chapter 5 and the verse is 31. I'll read verse 31 through 32. Brother Damel, when you get that, please read it for us.
Matthew 5.
Yes, sir. Is God's word not clear on that? You're going to divorce your wife because of what reason? Because of fornication, because of sexual immorality. You're going to divorce your wife. But he says, but I say unto you, whoever divorces his wife for any reason except sexual immorality causes her to commit adultery. So going to the question again, is it a sin for a Christian that have no biblical grounds to for remarriage to date? Well, the person that you're dating, if you don't have any grounds for divorce, it says that you're going to cause that person to commit adultery. Fornication, you're going to cause that person to do it. Because again, that's why we date, is it not? We date in order to say, hey, I want to marry you. I want you to be my wife. We're presenting ourselves as we go out into the community as a couple. Holding hands. Sitting close to each other. Doing all sorts of things that you shouldn't do while dating anyway. But we do them. And when you do them, you need to ask God to forgive you. But that's still not giving you permission to do them. That's what the preacher said. As long as I ask for forgiveness, all right. Mess around and die. Doing what you're doing. There is no forgiveness left. And so we have to be very careful with what we do with the word of God and be obedient unto him. Be obedient unto him. So we continue. I'm trying to work for y'all. But again, if you don't see it, it's not my fault. Well, I'm just going to read it for you, okay? Sorry. The next one we talk about, and we look at this and we examine it. Again, we want to do what's right in the eyes of God. Matthew chapter 19, verse 1 through 10. Matthew chapter 19, verse 1 through 10. Again, we're looking at the teachings of Jesus and not the ideals of man. The Pharisees came here and they questioned Jesus' reference to marriage. And being Jesus, he's not afraid to answer them. And that's important, that if it's God's word, there should not be any hesitation in giving the truth concerning God's word. So we find in the book of Matthew chapter 19, starting with verse 1. Matthew chapter 19, starting with verse 1. Now when Jesus had finished these sayings, he went away from Galilee and entered the region of Judea beyond the Jordan, and large crowds followed him, and he healed them there. The Pharisees came up to him and tested him by saying, is it lawful to divorce one's wife for any cause? Is it lawful for this to happen? He answered, have you not read that who created them from the beginning made them male and female and said, therefore a man shall leave his father and mother and hold fast to his wife and the two shall become one flesh? So they are no longer two, but one flesh. What therefore God has joined together, let no man separate. What God has joined together, let no man separate. Now you that are shacking, God has not joined you together. You need to separate. But here's the problem with that. That the laws of the land state that if you get mailed at this address, if you're presenting yourself as husband and wife, and you want to get rid of that person, now you have to go through what we call a common law marriage. You have to go through a common law divorce. And trust me, men, maybe the women, if you know, you don't want to go through a common law divorce because you are going to lose the same things that you would lose in a regular divorce. You're going to lose those things. So why put yourself in that situation? If you're dating someone, go to your house and they go to their house. But again, make sure that this dating is not engaging in any immoral act that God, again, that's when it's immoral, God is displeased with it. So let's not do those things. So the question again, there in verse 3 of Matthew chapter 19, he tells you, and the Pharisees came up to him and tested him by asking, is it lawful to divorce one's wife for any cause? He answers in verse 4 and 6. We drop down to verse 7, and we find they said to him, why then did Moses command one to give a certificate of divorce and to send her away? He said to them, because of the hardness of your heart. Moses allowed you to divorce your wives, but from the beginning, it was not so. See, we have to go back to the beginning in many cases to look at what did God say? In the beginning, he said, it was not so. Why? Because man's heart wasn't hardened then. Man was satisfied with the wife that he had. But because of the hardness of your heart, Moses permitted you, allowed you to put away your wife for any cause. If you're internet savvy, go look up on the computer, on your phone, on your tablet, whatever, and look at the different laws for divorce. Some of the laws for divorce, you can put your wife away if she burned the bacon, she burned the biscuits, if she don't clean house well, all of these ideals that God hadn't said anything about. But man say, you can put her away, you can put him away for this reason. If he's lazy, he don't want to work, you can put him away. If come on, ladies, if a man is lazy before you marry, he wasn't working before you marry, what makes you think he's going to work after you marry? Or men, you go and visit this woman at her house, at her mom's house, or wherever she's staying, and the house is just trash, what makes you think she's going to start cleaning up once you marry her? See, we have to take these things into consideration before we get married. And again, there are other areas that we don't want to get into because you're not going to know about those areas until you get married. That's the ideal situation. In verse 9, and I say to you, whoever divorces his wife except for sexual immorality and marries another commits adultery. Commits adultery. So again, going back to the questions, why are you dating? Why do you want to date? If you are in an unscriptural divorce and you're the reason why do you want to date? You already know what God says about divorce. And if you are in a divorce that you are the innocent party, why do you want to date someone that's not eligible to remarry? There's so many single ladies out there, so many single men out there. Why not look for one of them instead of looking for this? Well, she couldn't keep him, so I guess he's mine now. Or vice versa. No, wrong answer. The reason they got rid of them was because they committed a sin. And so we have to understand that. And we continue. And we think about this thing. And we think about God's word. And we think about the things that we need to do. The Pharisees also came to him. Again, they tempted him. You know, Jesus is the law. His word we should look at and we should continue to abide by. Continue to do the things that are right before him. And understand once again, when we're supposed to cling to our wives or cleave to our wives, that's exactly what he expects us to do. And the wife unto her own husband as well. The question again, can we do what we want to do? Can we do what we want to do? And it's a simple answer. Yes, we can, but is it lawful? Is God satisfied with what we are doing? Is he satisfied with what we're doing? The man who divorced his wife for fornication and marries another does not what? Commit adultery. He divorced his wife or she divorced her husband for fornication. And they marry another, they do not commit adultery. As long as the person they're marrying is eligible to be married. The man who divorced his wife for reasons other than fornication and marries another commits adultery. I don't want you anymore. I don't like the way you look. Vice man talking to the woman and woman talking to the man. I'm going out there. I'm going to find me somebody else, and that's the person I'm going to marry. You committed adultery. And you know what you've done when you committed adultery? You've caused the person that you married to commit adultery. Now, let's consider this. Gary hasn't ever been married before, but there's a lady that was married. And she divorced her husband because she seen Gary and she wanted Gary. She divorced her husband and she married Gary. What did that woman do? That woman committed adultery. What did that woman cause Gary to do? Commit adultery. Gary finds this out. Come on, woman, you've been married before and you got me in this situation. Now I have to ask God to forgive me. Don't worry about it, Gary. Ask him. Ask him. But you know what Gary has the right to do now? Gary is still single. Gary still has the right to marry whomever he pleases in the Lord. In the Lord. Gary, don't get yourself in that situation. Do some investigation first, okay? Make sure you do that. Make your grandma proud. Romans chapter 7, verse 2 through 3. Romans chapter 7, verses 2 through 3. There's a lot of scriptures, again, that covers marriage. A lot of scriptures that cover marriage. It should. There should be, because it's the oldest institution. God loves the family. He cares about the family. He wants the family to care about him. Romans 7, verses 2 through 3. For the woman who has a husband is bound by law to her husband as long as he lives. But if the husband dies, she is released from the law of her husband. So then, if while her husband lives, she marries another man, she will be called an adulteress. But if her husband dies, she is free from the law, so that she is no adulteress, though she has married another man. Though she has married another man. Now, this woman that is bound by law to her husband, as long as he lives, and the Bible says, but if he dies, she's released from that. This is that couple that has been together for however many years. She understands her responsibility to him. He understands his responsibility to her. One of the other dies. They have no responsibility to that person anymore. They can go and get married. But here's the problem that we have with what a lot of people think and what a lot of people teach, that if I have committed adultery against my wife, and the Bible is very clear. I already stated what the Bible says. If you are put away for the cause of fornication and you go out there and you marry another, you cause that person to commit adultery and you are still in that state of adultery. Didn't say anything about if your wife dies, it's okay. Doesn't say that. But what we find that if this woman or this man in Romans chapter 7, if one of the other dies, that person is free. Free to remarry. Now, you divorce your wife without the cause of fornication? Without the cause of fornication? You are single unless you come back together. Be reconciled back to that spouse. But what happens is that men say, women say, well, I'm just waiting on them to go out and do something wrong, and then I'm going to remarry. The Bible doesn't teach that. It tells you to be reconciled to your own husband, your own wife. And that is what we need to keep in mind as we think about the law of God. Only when that person, it dies, those that have been separated without the cause of fornication, when that person dies, then you're free. Because it's just like you're still married as long as that person is still living. 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 2. 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 2. He talks very, very direct. And when we start talking about marriage, divorce, and remarriage, it needs to be direct. We cannot tiptoe around on marriage and divorce and remarriage. Chapter 7, 1 Corinthians. Now concerning the matters about which you wrote, it is good for a woman or for a man not to have sexual relations with a woman. But because of the temptation to sexual immorality, each man should have his own wife and each woman her own husband. Each should have their own. And when you have your own, there are certain things that you still need to do within that marriage because that is your spouse. Verse 3, the husband should give to his wife her conjugal rights and likewise the wife to her husband. For the wife does not have authority over her own body, but the husband does. Likewise, the husband does not have authority over his own body, but the wife does. Do not deprive one another except perhaps by agreement, perhaps. Wow. By agreement, the Bible says, for a limited time, that you may devote yourselves to prayer and then come together again so that Satan may not tempt you because of your lack of self-control. Your lack of self-control. Is that hard to understand? When you are out there, and I had to keep going back to the question, when you're out there dating, where's your self-control? You don't have the right to date the one that was put away. Where's your self-control? You know, you need to dedicate your life to God. For the one that has the right to remarry, why would you want to go and, again, date someone that does not have the right to remarry? Why? And there's too many single ladies out there, too many single men out there that have the right to date and remarry or marry. So why not look for one of them? Why not look for one? Again, 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 10 through 11. Now to the married I command, yet not I, but the Lord, a wife is not to depart from her husband, but even if she does depart, let her remain unmarried or be reconciled to her husband, and a husband is not to divorce his wife. Not to divorce his wife. You know, God's word, again, is very good, very clear on these matters of marriage, divorce, and remarriage. Doesn't really have to talk about dating, but we know that when a man finds a woman that he is interested in, he wants to get to know her a little bit better, so he dates her. You know, we go back to that old saying, you know, love at first sight. I want you to be my wife, I want you to be my husband, and you go and do that thing. You know, our oldest son, Tim, that's the way he, you know, he this woman, oh, I love her. Fell heads and heels over love and you know, in love with her. And, you know, he moved out of the house the day after he graduated. And he didn't have time for dating. He jumped into marriage. And that was how many years ago? Umpteen years ago. About 15 or so, maybe. Still married to this day. Does he have problems? Yes, he has problems. Who doesn't have problems in their marriage besides Brother Shelton? God's law on marriage is very clear. Marriage is the joining together by God, one man and one woman for life. One man, one woman for life. Divorce is sinful, but one exception. Why? For fornication, immorality, sexual immorality. Remarriage is adultery with but two exceptions. Two exceptions. Y'all know what those two exceptions are? If you don't remember them, let me refresh your mind. Remarriage for adultery, if you're the innocent party, or your spouse dies, you can remarry. You can remarry. Dating for the person that is not eligible, out of the question. Out of the question. The answer, I could have just answered that very simply in the very beginning and said no to both of them. No, no, no. Why would you want to do such a thing? Why would you want to put yourself in a predicament? You know, for the man that's been sober for 13, 14, 15 years, maybe 20 years, why would you want to go and sit at a bar and just look at all that liquor there and say, I can handle this. I'm not going to give in. Matter of fact, I just want to test the waters. I just want to go sit there on that bar and see if I can continue not to drink. Same way when you get along with a woman or you get along with a man. You're putting yourself in harm's way. Don't risk your soul on it. Continue to dedicate, devote your life to God. Continue to do the things that God is pleased with, and God will be pleased with you. Those eligible for remarriage or for marriage, the one that has never been married, one whose mate has died, one who has put away his mate for fornication, one who reconciles with a lawful mate. I like that last one right there. One that reconciles with a lawful mate. That's the woman that you married or the man that you married, and you said, I can't be with you anymore. I'm going to divorce you. I'm going to leave you. I'm going to do this, that, and the other. God said, reconcile. If you can, reconcile. If you can't, you're a child of God, still serve Him. Ask Him to forgive you for what you've done and still serve Him. Still serve Him. But do all you can in your power to fix that marriage. Get that marriage right. Get that marriage right. If you're here this morning, you're not a child of God. What we've talked about and you're married still goes for you. If you're not married, it still goes for you. You don't go out there and still say, oh, I'm not a child of God. I'm going to go out there and marry whoever I want to. I don't care if she's been divorced. The Bible didn't say if he or she was not a Christian, that if you marry them and you're not eligible to be married, that you don't cause them to commit adultery. He didn't put a stipulation on it like that. He just said, whoever marries one that has been put away commits adultery. That's what the Word of God says. And so we have to go with the Word of God. Listen to God's word and be obedient unto it. I hope your answer, your question was answered. And matter of fact, I know your question was answered. I hope you accept that answer. And you do the things that God wants you to do to be pleasing with in His sight. And if that person is not here, sorry. I'm not going to be able to repeat everything I said except for just looking at the scriptures. And that's all we really need, is it not? God's word. Because His word is clear. His word is perfect. He does not contradict Himself in His word. We have to look at it and do the things that are right. If you're here and you're not a Christian and you want to become one, hearing the Word of God is the first thing. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Believe in what you hear. Except you believe that I am He, you will die in your sins. John chapter 8, verse 24. We need to repent. You need to repent. Luke chapter 13, verse 3. Except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. You need to confess. According to Matthew chapter 10, verse 32, Romans chapter 10, you have to confess. That confession needs to be made with the mouth. Jesus says in the book of Matthew, if you confess me before man, I will confess you before my Father in heaven. You have to confess Him before man, and He will confess you before the Father. Then you have to submit to baptism. You have to go down into the watery grave. As many of you has been baptized into Christ, have put on Christ. Galatians chapter 3 and the verses 27. Then live faithful. Continue to grow. Faithful. We talk about faithful, you know, being steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. For doing this, for knowing this, doing what God wants you. Your labor is not in vain. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 58. Grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. 2 Peter chapter 3 and the verses 18. Let's do what's right. Let's be the children that God expects us to be, the children that He wants us to be, looking at the Father for direction. And here it is right here. This is your direction, the Word of God. Follow it. Follow it. If you're here and you are a Christian and you have strayed away, if you have been caught up in this dating thing and you were not eligible to date, or you were dating someone that was not eligible, God is looking for you to confess. He's looking for you to repent of that. Get it right before it is too late. If you're hearing your subject, we ask you to please come as we stand and sing the invitation hymn.